Case number 21-5003. Adil Mohammed Abu Zayd, M.D., and Melissa Ann Abu Zayd, appellants, versus Alejandro N. Mayorkas, Secretary, U.S. Department of Homeland Security, et al. Mr. Schmidt for the appellants, Ms. Osterberg for the appellees.
Thank you. Mr. Schmidt, we are ready when you are.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Brian Schmidt on behalf of the appellants. The central question on review in this case is whether 8 U.S. Code 1252A2B prohibits judicial review of an affirmative adjustment of status application where said denial is based on a misapplication and or misapplication or misinterpretation of another federal statute, in this case, 8 U.S. Code 1182E. By way of background, Dr. Adil Abu Zayd entered the United States on J-1 visa status to complete a medical residency. On admission, he became subject to a requirement to return to his home country of 2 years. In this case, there are two home countries, the United Kingdom and Saudi Arabia. The 2-year foreign residence requirement creates 4 legal disabilities that do not go away until the applicant or the exchange visitor fulfills the requirement or obtains a waiver of the requirement. And one such disability is on an application for adjustment of status or for permanent resident status in the United States, also known as a green card application. In this case, the USCIS denied 2 adjustment of status applications for want of fulfillment of the 2-year foreign residence requirement for 2 separate reasons. The first reason is the government held that his trips to the United Kingdom and Saudi Arabia were too short to comprise residence. So 8 U.S. Code 1182E requires for fulfillment residence and physical presence for an aggregate.
Before you get in too far into the detail, you have a limited amount of time. The first question is a legal one. Why doesn't Patel case in the Supreme Court exclude what you're asking us to do here?
Yes, Your Honor. So so the recent Patel decision out of the Supreme Court does not actually apply to this case because the court explicitly held that an affirmative adjustment of status application is not subject to its holding. Only applications and removal proceedings where relief is sought.
What was before the Supreme Court in Patel?
What was before the Supreme Court in Patel is whether this statutory provision, 8 U.S. Code 1252A2B, precludes judicial review of discretionary determinations in the removal context where relief is sought.
Was that in a removal context in Patel?
Yes, Your Honor. He was put into removal proceedings and a removal order was issued in that case.
But the status we're interpreting here, doesn't it say, regardless of whether the judgment, decision, or action is made in removal proceedings?
Yes, Your Honor. So that is one of the government's arguments, you know, the statutory language. And I would say that that's a strained reading of the statute in that it disregards the title of the statute, statutory provision, judicial review of orders of removal.
That is not the way we read statute.
I'm sorry.
I said that is not the way we read statutes.
Well, and it's not just the title, Your Honor. The word relief is actually used in three locations.
Judge Pan read you the language of the statute. We never allow a title to overcome plain language in the statute itself.
It's additionally in the text and 2 other locations relevant to this question. So it's the word relief is in the word in the title. It's also in the subtitle of this particular provision, and
there's another reword that may be a problem for the regarding in the statute, and the Supreme Court was defined very broadly, wasn't it?
So regardless of whether the judgment, decision, or action is
regarding is defined in the Supreme Court decision as including anything leading up to or Justice Gorsuch's dissent does a good job of dismantling it, but that's a dissent. It doesn't matter.
Yes. Any judgment regarding the granting?
Right. And so there's a distinction between adjustment of status application in the context of removal proceedings in that relief is inherently being sought, whereas in an affirmative adjustment of status application, there's no relief sought. It's actually an affirmative benefit application. USCIS is a benefits granting agency.
But I guess the issue is whether that distinction matters when the statute explicitly says, regardless of whether the judgment, decision, or action is made in removal proceedings, no court shall have jurisdiction to review any judgment regarding the granting of relief under Section 1255. So is that the only basis on which you try to distinguish Patel? The fact that that was a removal proceeding, this is not?
No, Your Honor. We have circuit decision law. Four circuits prior to Patel have actually held that you can get judicial review in this context. When you're looking
Prior to Patel,
except Patel doesn't explicitly overrule any of those circuit decisions because it did not apply to anything outside of removal proceedings.
The Supreme Court doesn't necessarily go outside its immediate case to explicitly overrule cases, does it, counsel?
So when the Supreme Court held that, you know, this is only applying to in the context of removal, I mean, it's explicitly and expressly said that and went on to say that we're not doing this. And they also said that the majority ruling in Patel said may have intended to foreclose review when it comes to any other case, such as in this variety. And if you look at prior Supreme Court precedent in Kukana versus Holder, a 9-0 decision, where they actually employed statutory construction prescribed by the Supreme Court in Kukana versus Holder, that there's a presumption of judicial review of when there's administrative action, and it takes clear and convincing evidence to dislodge that presumption. But in this case,
or of course, presumably a statutory bar.
I'm sorry.
There's a statutory provision here that forecloses it. So does that take that outside of the context in which you're referring?
No, this is actually interpreting, Kukana versus Holder interpreted the neighboring provision of the statute saying we require clear and convincing evidence, and the provision they're interpreting is actually broader than the provision at issue in this case. And they said they required clear and convincing evidence. And what the court has held and Patel is may have intended to foreclose. So that's like very far away from clear and convincing evidence. The dissent actually went on. So the majority opinion in Kukana actually, or I'm sorry, in Patel said that Kukana's rule was inapposite in deciding the case. And the dissent actually pointed out that employing principles of statutory construction, that there absolutely is an implication that review should be held in cases of this variety. So he looked at the statutory language, and he looked at the ruling of Kukana and said there should actually be reviews in this kind of case. Additionally, let me add that the federal government has been inconsistent in their position on this issue. They actually advocated for, in Patel, that this kind of question would be subject to judicial review.
No, I understand that, but then Patel happened.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Any other questions from the panel? All right, thank you very much.
Okay.
We'll give you a minute for rebuttal. Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, Carol Alsterberg on behalf of the United States. The district court got it right. The district court correctly read the plain language of the statute at issue, 1252A2BI, and found that in cases such as this, the USCIS denial of an adjustment of status application is unreviewable. And then Patel happened. And as appellant even concedes, Patel has had a grave impact on the different definitions of terms that are at issue in a case such as this. The question of what judgment means has been defined by Patel. The question of what the term any means has been defined by Patel. And the definition of what regarding means has also been defined by Patel, such that the broad scope of Patel applies here. Patel's reasoning equally applies in cases such as this, regarding the denial of an adjustment of status application by USCIS. Looking to the language and the plain text of 1252A2B1, as this court noted itself, that states it's regardless of whether the judgment, decision, or action is made in removal proceedings. That's the case here. And B1 states that any judgment regarding the granting of relief under Section 1255, which is also the case here. Dr. Abu Zaid's application was denied pursuant to 1255.
Sounds pretty straightforward. I think I understand your position. If you have anything to add, please feel free. Otherwise, I think you'd be free to rest on your briefs.
Nothing further to add.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll give you 1 minute, Mr. Schmidt, if you'd like to give us any closing thoughts.
Thank you, Your Honor. So just going back to the text of the statute, you know, we have the title, removal orders, denials of discretionary relief, and then all of the text, and then point one, and then 8 U.S. Code 1255. And in an affirmative adjustment of status application, there is no relief that's being sought at the benefit application. Moreover, there's no review under the statute. There's no administrative review. There's no, what the government's arguing here is there's no judicial review. But in the context of removal proceeding, there's a channel. So we have review in the Board of Immigration Appeals, followed by particular circuit courts of appeal with petitions for review, and then discretionarily with the Supreme Court. And as such, we would argue, especially given the fact that Patel did not hold that the holding applies to this kind of case and it only applies to removal proceedings, and they expressly said so, we would ask that the court find that the issue of reviewability remains open for this court to decide, and that the decisions in the circuits on in the decisional law cited in support of our application have not actually been overruled. And for these reasons, we ask that we respectfully request the reversal of the district court's ruling.
Thank you very much, Mr. Schmidt. Case is submitted.